Jayam Vishnu Bhag Paramahamsa Parivraj Kacharya Astataroshya Shamat Stabayan Gai Shila Abhai Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder, BBT Founder, Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakuri Vaishnav Vrindi Ki Jai. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shila Vyasadev Ki Jai. Guru Parampara Ki Jai. Bhaktivedanta Purports Ki Jai. Natai Go Ramanande Hari Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, entitled Swayam Uvamanu Advises Dhruva Maharaj. Today's text number 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Samyacha Rosam Bhadram Te Pratipam Shreyasam Param Shrutena Bhuyasa Rajan Agadena Yathamayam Samyacharosam Bhadram Te Pratipam Shreyasam Param Shrutena Bhuyasa Rajan Agadena Yathamayam Samyacha Rusam Bhadram Te Pratipam Shreyasam Param Shrutena Bhuyasa Rajan Agadena Yathamayam Samyacharosam Bhadram Te Pratipam Shreyasam Param Shrutena Bhuyasa Rajan Agadena Yathamayam Vaishnavis. Word for word. Samyaccha, just control. Rosam, anger. Bhadram, all good fortune. Te, to you. Pratipam, enemy. Shreyasam, of all goodness. Param, the foremost. Shrutena, by hearing. Bhuyasa, constantly. Rajan, my dear king. Agadena, by medical treatment. Yata, as. Amayam, a disease. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. You can repeat the translation some words at a time. My dear king, just consider what I have said to you, which will act as medicinal treatment upon disease. Control your anger, for anger is the foremost enemy on the path of spiritual realization. I wish all good fortune for you. Please follow my instructions. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Dhruva Maharaj was a liberated soul, and actually he was not angry with anyone. But because he was the ruler, it was his duty to become angry for some time in order to keep law and order in the state. His brother Uttama was without fault, yet he was killed by one of the Yakshas. It was the duty of Dhruva Maharaj to kill the offender, life for life, because Dhruva was the king. When the challenge came, Dhruva Maharaj fought vehemently and punished the Yakshas sufficiently. But anger is such that if one increases it, it increases unlimitedly. In order that Dhruva Maharaja's kingly anger not exceed the limit, Manu was kind enough to check his grandson. Dhruva Maharaj could understand the purpose of his grandfather, but he immediately stopped the fighting. The word Shrutena Bhuyasa, by constantly hearing, are very important in this verse. By constantly hearing about devotional service, one can check the force of anger, which is detrimental to the process of devotional service. Srila Parikshit Maharaj said that the constant hearing of the pastimes of the Lord is the panacea for all material diseases. Everyone therefore should hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. By hearing, one can always remain in equilibrium. and thus his progress in spiritual life will not be hampered. Dhruva Maharaj's becoming angry with the miscreants was quite appropriate. There is a short story in this connection about a snake who became a devotee upon instruction by Narada, who instructed him not to bite anymore. Since ordinarily a snake's business is to fatally bite other living entities, as a devotee he was forbidden to do so. Unfortunately, people took advantage of this non-violence on the part of the snake, especially the children, who began to throw stones at him. He did not bite anyone, however, because it was the instruction of his spiritual master. After a while, when the snake met his spiritual master, Narada, he complained, "I have given up the bad habit of biting innocent living entities, but they are mistreating me by throwing stones at me." Upon hearing this, Narada Muni instructed him, "Don't bite, but do not forget to expand your hood as if you are going to bite. Then they will go away." Similarly, a devotee is always non-violent. He is qualified with all good characteristics. But in the common world, when there is mischief made by others, he should not forget to become angry, at least for the time being, in order to drive away the miscreants. Omagyana timirandasya genanjana shalakaya chakshurun militamyena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya mano vishtam sthapitam jena bhutale svayam rupakadamayam dadati svapadantikam panchakaupa tirubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanabhyo वैष्णवभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदी गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Described that anger is called kamanuja. Kama means lust and anuja means to follow. So anger follows one's lustful propensities within the material nature. In other words, kamanuja means the younger brother of calm or lust. At the same time, one is entrapped within the material body, and it is for certain that the mind and the material senses by nature will give agitation so long as one is in the material body. Therefore, what to do? Srila Prabhupada gives a definition of Swami or Goswami, and literally in English it means one who can control one's mind and senses. So by the definition, one who can control one's mind and senses, it indicates that why should one control one's mind and senses? Because by nature, the mind and senses will give agitation. Now somebody may ask the question, when will this agitation of the mind and senses stop? Bhagavad Gita answers that. Chapter 3 somewhere, that the mind and senses, the agitation of the mind and senses only stops when the body stops functioning. That means when the soul leaves the body. That's when it stops functioning. So therefore, by definition, someone who can control their mind and senses, it means that the mind and senses will always give agitation. And Srila Prabhupada said that as a spiritual organization in the material world, a very, very, very difficult proposition. So therefore, it is the nature of the body, both gross and subtle, to always give agitation. And that giving of agitation is termed, in the sense of understanding transcendental knowledge, it means lust, kama. So naturally, if one's lust is not satisfied, which is actually never ever satisfied in the material nature, anger follows, kama krodha, therefore kama nuja, younger brother of lust. Of course, we are very fortunate to be in Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and by the mercy of his sincere and serious followers who are helping us along to be engaged in devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami advises Yukta Vairagyam Uchyate. In other words, this does not restrict those things that are within our material grasp to actually engage in the Lord's service. But it also extends to the nature of anger. The nature of anger can also be dovetailed in the service of the Lord. Otherwise, one will not be able to control it by one's own effort and strength. So therefore, to engage anger in the service of the Lord should be appropriately used, but not otherwise, where it actually increases one's agitation in terms of the lustful propensities. So we'll try to give several examples of how Srila Prabhupada dovetailed the propensity of anger in devotional service, which is completely free from not being the younger brother of lust. He is free from lust, but at the same time he is engaging anger in the propensities, I mean, at least within devotional service. So Maharaj was mentioning yesterday how Srila Prabhupada was upset in various ways when he was in Vrindavan. So I also read up some pastimes about this, and Srila Prabhupada mentioned at one time to the managers of Vrindavan before the temple opening, or maybe after the temple opening in 1975. When did the temple open in Vrindavan? Yes, so this is after that. When Srila Prabhupada was settling in his quarters, so one evening, it was very cold in December, and he wanted to take bath, but there was no hot water. So immediately he called the managers, probably Guru Das and Gunarava and Dhananjaya and so forth. Immediately called them and said, "Now, what is the value of such an expensive project? We spent 50 lakhs in building such a beautiful temple and a nice guest house, and I cannot get hot water during the winter?" And that's it. So he was extremely angry. Angry in the sense of, you know, visibly angry. So then later on, you could see that he was just angry for the moment in terms of the hot water. And then he mentioned to another devotee, But it is all Surabhi's fault. Surabhi Prabhu was the architect at that time and overseeing the construction to a great extent. But immediately after some time, during the same day, he said, but Surabhi, he has done very nicely. There's no such building anywhere like this. So you could see that Srila Prabhupada utilizes anger in devotional service. At the same time, he utilizes glorification of the devotee. So in other words, we could learn from that if one is angry with another devotee, but at the same time, one sees the heart of the devotee engaged nicely in devotional service, then that anger is not coming as karma nuja. It is not a younger brother of lust or sense gratification. Another time, two particular devotees, Jagannath Das and Nitai, they were engaged in closely associating with the Babaji's in Vrindavan. Jagannath Prabhu came back to Los Angeles and he questioned Srila Prabhupada about Siddha Pranali. That means, what is your original identity in Krishna Leela and so forth. So Srila Prabhupada somehow could perceive that Jagannath Das has been delving in these things with the Babaji and Vrindavan. And he immediately flared up. In other words, sometimes your anger, you know, it builds up. It builds up. But in this instance, Prabhupada was like on fire immediately, like that. And he said, those Babaji's with all the Siddha Deha, they're smoking bidis and they're having three or four women with them all the time. What is the value of your question? He immediately fled up like that. Of course, Jagannath Prabhu became purified and asked the question again. But he wasn't satisfied. He wasn't satisfied. And Prabhupada could understand that. So he started influencing two of the devotees named Puranjan. At that time was probably the sort of a Sanskrit Spanish editor for South America. You know? Puranjan? Yeah. And he had also a brahmachari friend named Sulochan Prabhu at that time. So he started influencing them to some extent. And they were delving in Chaitanya Charitamrita mainly on the basis of the relationship of the gopis with Krishna. And they felt that this is the highest, so everything else is completely lower and so forth. So they were discussing amongst themselves like that. So Pradyumna Prabhu brought this to Prabhupada's attention because he was disturbed that they were doing these things in the Los Angeles area. So then Prabhupada, when he met with Puranjan and Sulochana, they started, you know, directly, in other words, subtly challenging Srila Prabhupada. But we have read in your books that the gopis are the highest, like that. See? And Prabhupada became so angry again. And he said, Mother Yasoda, you say is less than the gopis? This is their thinking? And they want Siddha Deha? And they're jumping around like monkeys? In other words, you could see that Prabhupada was not reasoning with them in terms of the philosophy. Sometimes when your transcendental anger takes the better of you, you do not want to hear anything. And this was Prabhupada also. We cannot say that Prabhupada, he wasn't reasoning with them. He just became angry completely, without speaking philosophy. And he said, you rascals, jumping like monkeys, what is the Siddha Deha? Like that. Prabhupada was flared up. But they still started arguing. And when they started arguing, Prabhupada felt, well, then I should reason with them. First he thought they were completely surrendered and submissive, and they said, I should reason with them. And then he quoted, he said, Guru Mora Mukha Deki Karila Sasana. He said, you first become a fool like Lord Chaitanya before jumping over like a monkey. So immediately they become pacified because they were quoting Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, Lord Chaitanya was a fool, murka, in front of his spiritual master. And he felt that his spiritual master simply gave him the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to chant in that way. So he said, you simply chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Another time, Srila Prabhupada told Jadurani in the early days when she was painting. So Jadurani came and she was showing a beautiful picture of Radha and Krishna in association with each other. And she also showed some imprints of her painting, the initialization of her sketch painting of Lord Nrisimhadev. And Prabhupada says, just see our Krishna. He is in such loving exchanges. And we also see that Krishna, and we also see that anger comes from Krishna as Lord Nrisimhadev. So the origination of transcendental anger is from the Lord as Lord Nrisimhadev. And also the origination passes down to the transcendental pure devotees who also use anger in the service of the Lord to bring us closer to the Lord. One time Srila Prabhupada was in LA and he was about to leave his room and go down for the meeting of the deities and so forth. But while he was leaving his room, he saw that one devotee was beginning to clean. And while he was cleaning, he put Srila Prabhupada's photo upside down. So Prabhupada noticed that. So now Prabhupada was angry. In other words, there's different types of anger within Srila Prabhupada. One is that, in the beginning I said in terms of the hot water, you know, he became angry but it built up. But when he became to the Siddhadeha and Siddhapralana, immediately he was angry. But in this anger here, Srila Prabhupada was angry inside, but he did not expose it externally. But it began in that way. Such transcendental features of a pure devotee in terms of anger. So he saw that his photo was upside down while the devotee was cleaning, but he did not say anything. So he left his room and he came down for a greeting of the deities, Rukmini Dwarkadish, and it was time to take Charanamrita. It's a famous first time. And when he tasted the Charanamrita, there was salt. And the anger began in his room, but as soon as this came up, it came out exposed, full on. And he said, who is responsible for this? So one of his young disciples, she came forward, she said, she was shaking like anything like that. Prabhupada was very, very angry. And then in the early days in Boston and the ISKCON Press, at that time it was known as ISKCON Press, now we known as the BBT, Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, like that. The devotees were innocent. It wasn't their fault really. In other words, they were innocent in a way that they were trying sincerely to serve Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada knew that. So sometimes they may do some things within the printing, but not really entirely the fault in that sense, because they were innocent. You could say sometimes innocent in their ignorance, because it's not their fault in that way, like that. So one book came out in the early days from the ISKCON Press, and they just wrote A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. They did not write as a divine grace. As we know, come out from an external point of view. Oh, he wants to be called his divine grace. And they left. Why can't he be humble and accept A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami? No. Prabhupada was angry. Because he wanted to teach them how to fully surrender into the mercy of the disciplic succession in terms of his divine grace. And that is his divine grace. His divine grace is his books itself. His divine grace is coming through that. The grace of the spiritual master is divine. So he was angry. And then at the same time, it continued in the same way, but in the innocence also, another publication, they wrote, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So they thought they were doing it right. So again, Srila Prabhupada became angry, furious. He said, I am not just an Acharya. I am the founder Acharya. It's a big difference. So where's the word founder? So founder Acharya means that Srila Prabhupada is not just an Acharya. You could say founder Acharya is that he's an Acharya with a capital A, not just a small A. He's a special person. Like that. So he became very angry that it must insist founder Acharya in that way. So Mother Yamuna, she used to hear these anger pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. And he was very angry. Like that. So for some time, she was avoiding Srila Prabhupada because she was afraid, she was fearful of Srila Prabhupada's anger towards the devotees. So she wasn't seeing him, she wasn't approaching him, and so forth like that. So then Srila Prabhupada asked Gurudas, where is your good wife? She doesn't want to give me darshan anymore. What is happening? Why doesn't she come and see me? Like that. So Gurudas approached Mother Yamuna and said, you know, Srila Prabhupada knows that you are avoiding him. So Yamuna said, yes, you know, he is most of the time angry, you know. I cannot deal with that. He's very angry all the time. He comes there. He's chastising everyone, so I'm afraid of his anger. Like that. Srila Prabhupada eventually called for her. Like that. So when he called for her, he was so charming, in a way. So charming. And he explained the anger in such a charming way. He said that when Balaram was intoxicated with Varuni, he became very angry when he wanted to sport in the Yamuna River. She refused to come because she was also fearful. Her name is Yamuna Dasi, and he's talking about Yamuna River. He said she was also very fearful of Balaram. She didn't want to come near because Balaram was angry. Like that. And Balaram took his haladar, his plow, and he pulled Yamuna forcefully towards him to enjoy water pastimes in her waters, like that. He said, similarly, if you don't want to come and see me, I will drag you to come and see me. I will drag you to come and see me in that way. And Prabhupada was angry when he said that. But when he was angry when he said that, you could see that his anger, I will drag you to come and see me, was full of affection. Was full of affection. So she was so happy that Prabhupada said, I will drag you to come and see me. And that's full of affection for his disciples. In the last days, Srila Prabhupada heard this from his holiness Kiran Swami also, but he paraphrased it from another devotee like that. Well, another devotee also mentioned the mood of Prabhupada. one disciple was telling Srila Prabhupada that, you know, you're about to leave us. Is it true that I'm hearing from the others? I just want to confirm with you, is it true that you're leaving just as Srila Bhakti said and the Saraswati Thakur left the planet? I'm speaking like this in Bhagavatam class because of yesterday, just in my consciousness, what is there. So is it true? Then Srila Prabhupada replied, what do you mean? Said, well, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was most disgusted and angry with his disciples before he left the planet. And because he was disgusted and angry with them, he decided to leave early. And therefore he left. Is it true that in your case also you are very angry and disgusted with us? Now you are deciding to leave in that sense? Then Srila Prabhupada became, he was very sick. But you could see he was angry that the devotee asked such a question, relating the same thing in relation to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur leaving. He was angry not because of, you know, of leaving because of disgust with his disciples, or angry with them. He was angry because of the question, like that. And then, because they knew he was angry with the question, then he gave the answer. And he said something like, if I remember hearing it correctly, he said something like, no, I am never disgusted with my disciples. I am never angry with them. He said, in fact, you're all the best association in that way. Therefore, we find that Srila Prabhupada was very pleased, very satisfied, you know, with the humble attempts of his disciples in relation to his divine grace, in relation to spreading Krishna consciousness, and in relation to try to be Krishna consciousness in the process of spreading Krishna consciousness. Do you have any questions or comments you'd like to ask at this point?
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, is it common for the devotees to become angry with Krishna sometimes? Suppose we pray for something, not for a material desire, to remove the material desire, and material desire does not grow. So out of frustration we become angry with Krishna.
Becoming angry with Krishna or becoming angry with the devotees?
Becoming angry with Krishna. Was a anger, I mean, mixed with love.
With Krishna. Yes. Well, there are two ways to understand the application of that. One is that, you know, akama sarva kamava moksha kama udarati ativrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. I mentioned in the beginning that akama sarva kamava. So this word kama is used, and anger is kama nuja, comes from lust, kama, or yanga prata of lust. So even if one is full of propensities for material enjoyment, sarva kama, then one can approach Krishna to fulfill that. And if one approaches Krishna to fulfill that, and it's not being fulfilled, then you're going to fight with Krishna. You're going to get angry with Krishna that, you know, I want my desires fulfilled, but you are not fulfilling it. Like that. So you go back to Krishna and say, why are you not fulfilling it? So when you go back to Krishna, and Krishna sees that you are, Prabhupada uses the word, you are persistent. You insist, you persist. Krishna, fulfill my material desire. Krishna says, okay. So Krishna fulfills your material desire in such a way that he purifies you of the desire, not to desire that again. Only Krishna can do that. So in other words, nobody else has that formula besides Krishna himself. No demigod, no great other personalities, but only Krishna. You can fulfill one's material desires in such a way that you feel satisfied, at the same time you become purified of not to desire that again. So that's one answer. The other answer is that if you're angry with Krishna, you're angry with the transcendental personality. In other words, Krishna is not material. So our anger towards Krishna, no matter what our consciousness is, whether it's material, whether it's spiritual or not, it does not matter. Because Krishna is a Papa Vitam. In other words, he can purify and he can associate with contaminated consciousness, at the same time remain pure and purify the contaminated consciousness of the person who's approaching him. So it is good. If you're angry, approach Krishna. Because Krishna is giving that instruction, you can also approach him. Is it okay?
Yes, Prabhu, I'm satisfied. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Anger is always harmful for devotional service. But when that is used for Krishna service, that becomes first class. But is that considered first class in terms of classification of devotional service?
Anger within the aspect of devotional service is in the association of devotees. In the association of devotees. So in the association of devotees, Prabhupada gives a very amazing example. He says, just as you get a green mango, it needs water and it needs sunlight. It needs other things like air and so forth to grow. But it needs water and sunlight primarily. There's other secondary things that it needs. It has to also be attached to the tree. Like that. Yeah. So you get a mango in its beginning stage. And the mango in its beginning stage always tastes bitter. But if it remains on the tree, by getting more sunlight and more watering, it'll come bitter sour, sour sweet, and then completely sweet. In that sense, like that. So, when we associate with devotees, some devotees are in a bitter stage to associate with. Some devotees are in a bitter sour, some devotees are in a sour stage, and some devotees in a sour sweet stage, and some devotees are in a sweet stage, like that. But Prabhupada asked the question. He says that this mango, is it a mango when it's in a bitter stage? Yes or no? It is a mango. Yes. Is it a mango? It's a mango. It sounds a silly question, but just to answer the question to move ahead. Yes, a mango in a bitter stage is a mango. And a mango in a sweetened stage is also a mango. So similarly, a devotee is always a devotee, whether in a bitter stage or whether in a sweetened stage. Provided, as even given in the purport, provided the devotee is always watering. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu likens watering to Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And provided we are in the sunlight of the association of devotees. So long as you see this devotee chanting Hare Krishna and is always favorable in the association of devotees, even if the devotee is bitter to associate with, he is still a devotee. So that devotee who is bitter to associate with was still a devotee. He may be in the beginning stages, which is called technically neophyte, but it is not neophyte in the sense of being bad. It is neophyte in the sense of being young in Krishna consciousness. Not really in the sense of being immature also, but in the sense of being young in Krishna consciousness. So you may call it immature, but it's young. Still growing is there. Like that. So therefore, in the association of devotees, if one devotee gets angry with another, but if we can always bring our point to see that this person is chanting Hare Krishna, and this person is liking the association of devotees, although they themselves are not easy to associate with, then one should give a chance. They will grow to bitter, sour, 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 sweet, and so forth. So that's one example from the bitter to the sweetened stage. Now let's give another example from the sweetened stage, but apparently bitter. Coming to that point. Just like if you want to taste real honey, actual honey, where do you have to go? Where do you have to go to get the genuine honey originally? Where do you have to go? You have to go to a beehive, where you get the honeycombs that is oozing with honey. You have to go to a beehive. In order to get to that honey, what will happen to you? You're going to get stung by the bee. You're going to get stung by the bee. And when you're stung by the bee, it's worth it. Because you're going to get the original thing without any contamination, without any adulteration, without any change. You're going to get stung by the bee. So similarly, to enter into the nectar of the devotee's heart, you must be prepared to be stung first. And part of that stinging is that the devotee may be angry at you. Hey, why are you asking such a question? Go away from here. But you don't know that this person is very exalted. But he may be externally angry. But he is not externally angry. That is him. That is him. He's not putting on a show he's angry. That is his natural nature, that I am angry with you. But he's not angry out of sense gratification. He's angry, it's just that he is himself. But you must be prepared to go through that stinging to get to the actual original nectar. In that sense. So I'll give a third example to conclude in the same way amongst the association of devotees. The third example is just like, according to Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we eat a particular, we eat a feast in a particular way according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what do we taste first? The bitter preparation? Right? Then the sour preparations, and then the fried preparations, and what comes in the end? The sweet. So now, if you take the sweet first, it will taste sweet. But if you take the bitter preparations with the sour and then fried preparation and then take the sweet will taste even sweeter still. Like that. So in the same way, the bitter preparations, they create within the taste buds the next level for the sour to be tasted properly. So each preparation prepares for the next one to be tasted even better. So similar in the association of devotees. Sometimes it may take a couple of lifetimes, not just one lifetime, that, you know, I'm in the association of devotees, but I'm always running into difficulties. You know, everyone is bitter towards me. It may take even a couple of lifetimes, but it's preparing you for the sweetness stage as you go higher and higher and higher. And you'll come to that point. So therefore, no matter what happens, never give up the chanting of Hare Krishna, watering the devotional kripa, and never ever give up the association of devotees, no matter how challenging it is, no matter how difficult it is, because it is preparing you for the next stage, to the next stage, to the next stage, and until it comes to the sweet, that will taste sweeter still. It's like eating a feast. We'll stop. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anant Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Natai Gaur Premanande.